It's time for Civic Thrills with Richard Hills.
I haven't heard that before. Hi, Richard Hills. How are you?
Good, thanks, Mikey. How are you?
Good, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Richard Hills, born in 1985. He's an Auckland councillor who was elected at the 2016 Auckland elections. He's Auckland's youngest current councillor, the first openly gay Auckland councillor, and one of two Ngāpuhi iwi members. Richard, welcome to BFM.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
That's your Wikipedia kickoff for a start.
Yeah, it's 1986, they've got that wrong.
Well, they've actually put 1985/1986. I was going to say that, and I'm just not sure how that works, whether you're born on the cusp, you know?
It was a really long birth, I think.
You're from the North Shore, so three cheers for you.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. Now, we're not speaking to the mayor today, we're going to speak to you. Let's talk to you first about, this is something that some people don't realise. You're a member of the Labour Party.
Yes.
Okay, so when people, you know, when people vote for a city council, it's not National versus Labour, but it sort of is in a way, isn't it? Can you explain that for people who may not be aware that there is that political lean when it comes to regional councils?
I guess so. I mean, I stood as an independent. The Shore doesn't really like when you stand under any label for local government. I mean, most people would have known my views are more left of centre, but the North Shore still elected a young gay lefty, so that was interesting. But I think it's more about people's views on issues. So it might be public transport, community libraries, you know, environment. It's more about the issues and what people think about, want in their community, which generally doesn't. I think with an ACT Party member I worked with on the local board, he said to me, you know, there's no left-wing footpath and right-wing community centre, which some respects is right. I guess when it comes down to things like rates and things, and you get a bit of a, cut this, cut that, as opposed to, you know, have a bit more community focus, might be a bit more left-wing.
So the reason I brought that up is because we're in the weekend at the National Party. They said that they haven't yet decided if they're going to run a candidate against Phil Goff in next year's local body elections. Some people might not be aware that National run a candidate or Labour run a candidate. That's the reason I wanted to bring that up. What are your thoughts on that? They've sort of come back overnight. Last night they said that they were incorrect and they were going to investigate how it might go about standing in local government elections.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, they're obviously welcome to, but I think it is, many of their members, or at least their MPs, do think it's a bit of a risk. We saw that with John Banks, we saw that last time with Vic Crone, and they put up a National Party ticket called Auckland Future that didn't do very well. But I think it's because you've got, especially in the mayoral role, with such a diverse city, you've got to try and cater to everyone's needs, which if you're being extremely political, you just can't pick up large parts of the community.
Which I'm constantly amazed how just Phil Goff's energy to do that, actually, that he can be bothered. Because it's a full-on job, isn't it?
I don't think he sleeps. He just is not. He's there before I get there, and then at 10 o'clock he's leaving a meeting and then down to
apologising for having a heart attack. And then right next up, there's a lot to discuss in the council at the moment. One of the things that you guys have to deal with will be when's the next election, next regional election? Next council election?
October next year.
See, that's quite soon, isn't it? I mean,
it's coming up.
I mean, there was discussion earlier on in the year about maybe that there was a mutiny about to happen, that Phil was going to be kicked out. Our man Philip. Yeah. Well, it's going to be kicked out and pushed aside, but it seems like whether that was even blown out of proportion or whether it's people's worries have been satiated.
Yeah, I mean, I found it was pretty. Personally, I found that was all pretty random. We'd just been through the 10-year budget, which was pretty much unanimous. Everyone seemed pretty happy. Phil tried to get as many of our views and priorities into that plan, and then suddenly this letter came out. And it got leaked to the media before it got to Phil, and yeah, it was a bit bizarre, but I think Phil's really trying to make sure that everyone's, okay and dealing with stuff. But it's definitely two ways. I mean, if I want something or want to chat to him, I just walk straight upstairs and dash down the door, and if he's busy, I come back later. You know, I think he's just busy.
He'll talk your ear off if he wants to.
Exactly.
He's good at it. I guess what I'm asking, though, is do you think that there's a serious contender out there to take the job from Phil Goff next year?
From the current lot of councillors, I haven't heard of any of them keen to stand.
Because let's be honest, the Auckland mayoralty has been a shitbox most of the time, hasn't it? Like, you know, as far as getting people to vote and getting a really good representation. You know, this is the first time it actually feels like it's got a bit of something behind it. And I'm not just big upping Phil Goff because he talks to me on the radio all the time. I'm just, you know. It's you hate for Auckland to go back and sit in that sort of divot the trough it was sitting in of nobody voting, no one really caring, everyone going, oh, it's going to be a loser anyway, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he's doing a good job in elevating the council and, you know, getting the serious issues around transport and water quality and also keeping the arts and communities as well. It's not just cutting, which might come from the other side. But I think... yeah, I mean, we do have a huge challenge. We still only get about 40% of people voting, but
that's way better than it used to be, though. I remember one year it was like 18,000 people or something ridiculous.
Oh, I don't.
Ridiculous. You're probably weren't even born. Hey, Richard, when you go out and about, what are people your friends sort of pick your brain about as far as the council, your role in the council?
Unfortunately, a lot of my friends don't pick my brain at all about council. They just can't be bothered hearing about my my propaganda on Facebook anymore. But most people, it's around transport. It's definitely housing, how we can get more people into the city. You know, at the moment, in Takapuna, we're looking at a development site there. There is a bit of a divide between people who want to save a car park as it is. You know, we really need the car park and other people.
This is the one on Anzac Street?
Yeah. A lot of people my age are like, just develop it, make it a cool square, put some housing and restaurants, laneways in there down to the beach. But you'd be surprised at how many people want to keep it as a, you know, 270-space car park.
I guess these... is because a lot of the time when things get developed, just have a look at the bottom of Queen Street and stuff, it just goes, overdeveloped. You know, it's good to have some space around. But, I mean, we don't need is another car park full of a weekend market like that one, you know. But that's up to the people on the North Shore. What about being a gay councillor? That must be quite interesting. That must be, I mean, are you sort of like the go-to guy for gay issues? Or
yeah, you know, definitely.
Particularly having gay people bang on your door saying, hey, come on, you're gay, come on.
Fix the gay stuff.
Yeah, fix the gay stuff up.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely around pride. Like, people want me to speak out and, you know, help open the pride parade, different things like that. I used to be a youth worker, so I work with a lot of young LGBTI plus rainbow youth. So I think it's important to... At first, I didn't want to be the gay counsellor or anything. I think it's also important to give a voice. You know, a lot of young people that I speak to in schools, you know, sort of say... You know, people voted for you. That means that they weren't homophobic. And I'm like, well, a small portion were, but you just used the block button on Twitter. But mostly, but
that's an interesting thing for them to say to you, though. That's really cool. That's really cool.
It's a good thing, but it's nothing that affects my life. It's just the same as I don't see my husband, just like everyone else doesn't see their wives. You know,
you've got to put the hard yards in.
Yeah.
Now, speaking back to council decisions, the CRL expansion, the City Rail Link. Expansion has been discussed, and it's going to be full steam ahead. You're going to future-proof the City Rail Link. I know that's a very Phil Goff thing to say. Expand the station sizes to cater for the amount of people who have decided to take the train every day. What sort of things are you doing? We talked to Phil about this a little bit the other day, and he was saying that you're going to mean lengthening platforms and so that the trains can be for 9-carriage trains instead of 6-carriage trains, which we currently have. And a second entrance for the Krangipi Road station, and just getting the stations up to speed for bigger trains so more people can catch a train.
Exactly. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. I sort of asked every time CRL came in, why wasn't this done? It was in the original plans, but because the government of the day had to sort of drag kicking and screaming to this decision, I think at the time it was just, oh, where can we shave some costings off? But it would be ridiculous to... not future-proof, increase the platform size by 50%, which means you can have, I think it's from 36,000, increases it to 56,000 people per hour on the network. But we would have to close the City Rail Link down and basically the city within about 5 or 6 years to then extend the platforms, which could take, you know, a year or so.
Do you catch a train, Richard? You ever caught the train? You catch a train much?
I catch the bus most days, but we don't have trains on the shore, unfortunately.
I know.
One day.
Sometimes go out and have it go on the trains, you know?
Oh, definitely. when we head out to meetings out that way, or you've got events out at Mount Smart or something, definitely take the train.
Do you, like, here's my idea. Just, I'd say this to Phil. He didn't take it on board. I want you. I'm just sowing the seed. Free public transport in Auckland means cut the amount of money we spend on motorways and transport in general, and just shift it over to free public transport. It's an idea. Just sit on it for a while. Think about it. It's a great idea. It's my great idea.
I like the idea. I don't know.
Well, okay, you're my champion for the idea. Go ahead, Richard. You'll be flying the flag for it every meeting from now on.
Yeah, I'll just say it every meeting.
That's the spirit. Cool. All right. Hey, thank you very much for talking to us, Richard Hills.
Nice talking to you too.
Taking Phil Goff's spot. What's Phil doing? What's he away doing?
I think he's in Japan or somewhere. I don't know. He just rushed off and said, I'll be back soon.
Hey, thanks for talking to us. Cheers.
Cool. See ya.
That was Civic Thrills with Richard Hills.